Thank you so much for allowing me to share God's word with you today. God is so good. I know he has something very special for you here in his word today. I'd love to pray for us before we get started. Lord, thank you for this time to share your word. I pray that you'd be right there with every person watching, that they would feel your presence and that you would touch them and build them up, encourage them, heal them, refresh them, Lord. Teach us your word today. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be in John chapter 7 if you'd like to follow along. The title of my message today, Isn't It Surprising? And you'll see exactly what I mean by that in a few minutes. But from John chapter 7, Jesus is and his brothers are getting ready to celebrate the Jewish festival of shelters. And Jesus is laying low because those first nine verses tell us that Jesus is hated by the world, that he's persecuted, even that the religious leaders want him dead and out of the way. And in this passage, we find out that even Jesus's brothers are unbelieving, encouraging Jesus, go up to the festival and reveal yourself to them in almost a mocking way. And Jesus tells them, no, I'm not going. And then he remained in Galilee, but later he chose to go. And we'll talk about that today. And so in verse 10, the story picks up. But after his brothers left for the festival, Jesus also went, though secretly, staying out of public view. The Jewish leaders tried to find him at the festival and kept asking if anyone had seen him. And Jesus went up, though secretly. Can you picture Jesus going up in secrecy to this festival? And I couldn't help but, as I was preparing for this message, thinking of a few years ago when my family was in Washington, D.C., and we saw Tim Tebow on the streets of D.C., and one of my daughters says, isn't that Tim Tebow? And by the time she said that, to the time that we had made the 15 feet to him, he was completely encircled by a group of people. You couldn't get anywhere near him. He was whisked off into a car and jetted away. And I couldn't help but think of that story as I thought about Jesus. If he was recognized, people from all over would swarm him. And so he was walking in secrecy. And can you picture him? I picture Jesus walking those streets, you know, maybe hooded, walking the back streets in the shadows, making his way through. And it tells us that the leaders, the religious leaders, were looking everywhere for him. Even they kept asking everywhere, have you seen Jesus? Where's Jesus? Let me know if you see him. And unaware, the enemies of God are building up the crowd, stirring up intrigue in their hearts. Hey, keep your eye open for Jesus. Hey, where is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? I've never heard him speak. I don't know who he is. Who is he? I want to meet him. I want to see him. I want to hear him for myself and make my own decision. And so the enemy has overstepped his bounds, as he always does, and is actually hurting himself, stirring up intrigue for God, which is happening in our very day. A hunger for God is building, despite all the things that the enemy's trying to do to stop it. God is going to move in such a powerful way. And so the enemy of God is stirring up intrigue. Who is Jesus? Who is he? You know, and I just pictured Jesus walking those streets of Jerusalem in secrecy. And verses 12 through 13, there was a lot of grumbling about him. There was a lot of murmuring or grumbling about him among the crowds. Some argued he's a good man, but others said he's nothing but a fraud who deceives the people. But no one had the courage to speak favorably about him in public, for they were afraid of getting in trouble with the Jewish leaders. And so there's a lot of grumbling. There's mixed reactions about Jesus, as there has always been. You know, some said he's a good man. Others said he's a fraud who deceives. But nobody had the courage to speak favorably of him in public. Isn't that a tragedy? Nobody had the courage to speak up for Jesus because they were afraid of getting in trouble for the religious leaders. Aren't you glad Jesus spoke up for us? and took our side and suffered in our place. He did that in such a courageous way. And so there's a bizarre problem going on here in John chapter 7. God, if you know the story of Scripture from front to back, God knew we were in trouble. He knew humanity was lost in sin. He knew humanity was under a curse. And he sent his son as a baby in Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem, to become one of us, to become human, so that he could redeem us, so that his son could die in our place and take the sins of humanity upon himself as a human being, in order that we could go free and have relationship with God through faith in Jesus. And so God knew that fallenness had affected us so deeply. When Adam and Eve fell in sin, that fallenness had affected us so deeply, and evil had become so entrenched in our world. It had gotten to the point that even the religious leaders in Jesus' day wanted God's own son, the one that God sent, the Messiah, his very own son. He wanted that, the religious leaders wanted Jesus dead. That's how bad it had gotten. And in this particular story, the air is so thick with fear. There's such an aura of murder in the air that no one will even speak publicly or favorably about God's own son. That's the bizarre problem in this particular story in John chapter 7. And we need to remember they're celebrating the festival of shelters, or what we call the festival of booths, or the festival of tabernacles. They're all the same festival. It was one of the three main feasts where every Jewish male was required to travel to Jerusalem. So the population of Jerusalem would swell enormously during this time. And it was a time of celebration for the autumn harvest. And so we know that time of year right now, we're celebrating that autumn time of year. And that was the time when they celebrated the autumn harvest. And the people lived in booths or tents made of palm and willow trees to remember their wilderness wandering when they lived in temporary shelters, when they were fleeing Egypt and living in the wilderness. For those 40 years, they lived in these tents, and it was a time of remembrance of God's faithfulness to shelter them during that time and to provide for them. And I can't help but think of Jesus in this time of festival of shelters. I can't help but think of him come from heaven. I'm sure he felt like he was in the wilderness. I'm sure he felt maybe he even reminded himself daily, this is just a season. I'm passing through. I'm here for a purpose. But this isn't the end of the story for me. I'm just passing through. You know, and so I think that was a very important storyline in the life of Jesus. And so during this festival, Jesus had initially told his brothers, you know, I'm not even going up. You know, and he knew that people wanted him dead there in Jerusalem. But it says in verse 14, Jesus displays his enormous courage. It says, then midway through the festival, Jesus went up to the temple and began to teach in that atmosphere. Then midway through the festival, Jesus went up to the temple and began to teach. The people were surprised when they heard him. How does he know so much when he hasn't even been trained? They asked. And so midway through the festival, he got up. I'm sure he took his hood down. He stepped out of the shadows. He stepped up front. And he got up to teach. You know, was this premeditated? I don't think so. I think maybe it was a prompting of the Spirit. The Spirit of God said, now's the time. Get up and declare the truth. And Jesus in that moment was the embodiment of courage. And it says this in verse 15, I want to point this out. The people were surprised when they heard him. The people were surprised when they heard him. How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained, they asked. How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? You know, that's back to my title. Isn't it surprising? Now, all this buzz about Jesus all through the city, and finally he gets up on stage and he declares the truth, and everyone is surprised. Isn't this surprising? Isn't this amazing? How does he know so much when he hasn't been trained? You know, how does he know so much? I want for us to hone in on that as disciples and as followers of Jesus. He spent time alone with God. You know, that was his training. Time alone with God, talks with his Father. You know, the Spirit's influence on his mind. How he honored and memorized Scripture. That's all what made Jesus. Those are the things that made him who he was. And so when he spoke, you know, what came out of him was brilliant. And it revealed his deep knowledge of God, his deep knowledge of the truth, his relationship with the Father and with the Spirit. Paul said something like this, something similar in Ephesians 1:17, that reveals to us the way of knowledge, of knowing the truth in God. In Ephesians 1:17, Paul said, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That spirit of wisdom and revelation was on Jesus. That's how he was trained. He was trained. And so we need some things in order to be faithful disciples in this world. We need a few tools. We need some things to walk in faithfulness as followers of Jesus. First of all, we need a good theology. We need to know that Jesus is good. We don't want to be those who waffle between, well, Jesus was a good man, and no, he's a deceiver of the people. We need a theology that he's more than a good man. He's God, and that God is good. You know, we also need incredible courage, and that comes through the Holy Spirit, relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need God's courage in our lives to be faithful disciples of Jesus, who will even speak up and speak the truth about Jesus and speak of him in a favorable way. We need a living relationship with God where we receive wisdom and revelation from him on a constant basis. We need to be led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit. This is what made Jesus surprising to others. You know, these are the things that result in surprise. When he opened his mouth and he spoke, people were surprised. Wow, where did he learn these things? Where did this come from? Wow, I've never heard anything like this before, and such authority. And so when Jesus spoke, all kinds of misconceptions were cleared up about God, all kinds of misconceptions. And so Jesus, he has been trained, built up in an incredible faith by the Father and the Spirit. And Jesus invites us into training, to basic training as disciples. In verse 16, it says this, "So Jesus told them, 'My message is not my own. It comes from God who sent me. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will know whether my teaching is from God or is merely my own. Those who speak for themselves want glory only for themselves, but a person who seeks to honor the one who sent him speaks truth, not lies. Moses gave you the law, but none of you obeys it. In fact, you're trying to kill me." And so Jesus is a faithful messenger from heaven. He says, anyone who wants to do the will of God will receive my truth, the truth that I bring. Anyone who wants to do the will of God will receive my teaching. And he challenges those listening, test it and you'll know the truth. Test it, try it, and you'll see that it's real. You'll see that it's perfect. You'll see that it is the way. And so Jesus gives us, each of us, that incredible challenge. You want to know the truth. You want to do the will of God. Then study my message. Live it out and you'll see it's the truth. You'll see that it's the way. You'll know it's the truth. And in verses 16 through 19, he tells the religious leaders who are attacking him at this moment, you say you're experts in the law of Moses, but you want nothing to do with the truth. Test the truth I offer you, and you'll experience real life. Test it. And I just challenge you today, isn't it worth a try? Test the Jesus way. Get into the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at the red letters, the words of Jesus, and live by them, and they'll lead you into peace. They'll lead you into a deep walk with God. Isn't it worth a try? And so verses 20 through 23, Jesus has this altercation with those who despise him. They're going after him, and he challenges them in verse 24. Look beneath the surface. Go down deeper. Look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly. And Jesus challenges us with that. You know, there was all this buzz in the city, and if you look beneath the surface, you know, beneath the what was going on, maybe you would see truth himself in the form of Jesus. Maybe if you look beneath the surface in the shadows, in secrecy there, you would find God walking the streets. God, behind all the hype, hidden away, they're working and moving and ministering. And Jesus says, look beneath the surface so you can judge correctly, so you can find the truth. Learn as disciples, let us learn. Let's learn to appreciate the humility of God, the secrecy of God, the way that God works beneath the surface to bring the truth. In this world that hates him, God is still working in this world, you know, in the shadows, and where many don't even see. And Jesus wants all to come to a knowledge of him. He wants all to experience salvation. He wants all to come to know the goodness of his Father. But we have to pay attention. And so I want to challenge you with this. Jesus is always working in the shadows, cloaked in secrecy, touching the ones who judge rightly. He doesn't need the headlines. He doesn't need the bright lights. You won't find him there. Occasionally, he'll step out onto that stage, but he prefers the way of the kingdom. He prefers humility and peace. He prefers meekness. And his eyes are searching for those who truly hunger for the truth. Not a religious system designed to enable self-centeredness and greed. That's what was going on among the Pharisees. They loved the limelight. They loved to be on stage. They loved to be out in front where everybody could see. And God is hidden away. He's hidden away in secrecy, and he's looking for those who are truly hungry, and he'll make sure that they get it. You'll find me, God says, when you search for me with all your heart. And so let's seek the Lord in truth. You know, isn't it surprising? The people were surprised when Jesus got up and spoke, and they couldn't believe it. And let's make a place for him to surprise us with his knowledge, with his truth, with his understanding. He's working in a way that if you're not watching carefully, you'll miss it. And he is working. So let's pray. Lord, we just love you. We praise you. We thank you for your presence with us. I pray for all those listening that you would encourage them today, that you put joy within their hearts, Lord. I pray that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear so that we don't miss what you're doing. God, I pray for all those who are hurting today that you would heal them up. in their heart of hearts. Lord, I pray that you would give them joy. God, we pray for the mind of Christ today. Lord, we pray that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We want to truly know you, God. I pray for those who are sick today that you would heal them, touch them and heal them, Lord, even now. God, I pray, Lord, for our nation and for this world. I pray for real breakthrough, God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be honored, that each of us would have courage to speak of you favorably, even in public. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your courage and how you fought for us and how you gave your life for us on that cross. We worship you today, this Sunday, on the Lord's Day. We worship you. We thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for dying in our place, Lord Jesus. We give you our hearts afresh. We want to live for you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. The Lord is with you, and he's right there with you, and he wants to spend the day with you every day. He loves you so much. God bless you. Thank you.